Hi Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
Torah isn't education, it's transformation. This is Chai Chinuch with Rabbi G.
101.9 Chai FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, as we do every Monday, where we discuss Chinuch, we discuss education, we discuss what we can do to grow, to achieve, to be the better people we want to be. How can we influence the world? How can we influence ourselves? And everything in between, our students, our families, our communities, just live in the world we want to live in. Be the people we want to be and need to be, and we are responsible to be. And we are definitely in very important days coming up. Coming up is Chag HaPesach, the beginning of our journey as the Jewish community, the time when we went out of slavery and became a nation, and the celebration of which we remind ourselves every Shabbat throughout the year, and almost with any significant event in mitzvah, we always go back to remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim and remembering that we used to be slaves of people, now we are slaves of Hashem and connected, and this is where we are. Speaking about the time of Pesach and redemption and connection and growth and who we are and where we are not all in the same status in the world. There are countries that you have large Jewish communities where it's very easy, per se, or easier to be connected, to walk out of your house and smell matzah every corner and, you know, experience Pesach on every level and really be in, keeping in a simplified way you are in the community that is in that same mindset. That there are countries that there are very limited amount of Jews, and not necessarily that you walk out of your house on Pesach and feel Pesach in the street, and not necessarily that you are in that place of the community, and you're on your own to educate your children, to educate your family, to educate your community, and you are connecting to the Jewish community throughout widely. However, in your local place, there's a lot more work to do. And then we have us, our beautiful community in Johannesburg, which is probably not the largest in the Jewish world right now, with countries with millions of Jews, but also not the smallest. We have a very advanced, beautiful, strong community, and you could feel Pesach, not only Pesach, but you could feel Pesach, and you feel could connect the community. And to feel that balance and where we come in teaching our next generation. Because I'll just say this before we start, that I think, and the rabbis here in the show will correct me if I'm wrong, I think the only time that we have a halacha that we need to sleep is on Erev Pesach afternoon, so we can teach our children and we can teach the next generation. And it's the time of teaching and realizing who we are and how to do that in this variety of personal growth when you have yourself and when you have a community. That's why I have that discussion today with two rabbis in very different countries. On the one hand, I have here with me Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who is the rabbi of Shaar HaShamayim Synagogue in Indonesia. Never been to Indonesia. I don't know Indonesia that well, but I'm guessing that there's not that many community members, and it's pretty much on the rabbi and on the community to look after themselves, together with our personal Rabbi Schnurb that we all learned from for years on the radio here on the show. Rabbi Moshe Schnurb is a rabbi at Keter Torah Shul, but presenter of Hilchos Shabbos. I think that when I first came to South Africa, the one way I found Chai FM was to listen to the Hilchos Shabbos show from Rabbi Schnurb. I'm talking about 9-10 years ago, probably. So it's really special to have this discussion. Educator, famous educator in the community, and really a leader here in the Johannesburg community. So let's start our discussion right away. Dive in and see. First, let's get to know maybe with the rabbi that we don't know that well. Good afternoon, Rabbi Baruch. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you, Rabbi.
So just a bit about you and about Indonesia, the community, Jewish life over there, just so we understand a bit of where you're coming into the discussion as a rabbi, a leader in the Jewish community in Indonesia.
Yes. Our community is not very big. It's very small, and it is separate in a few islands. And I'm leading the synagogue in the island is called Sulawesi. We have 20 or 30 Jews in the town. And also there is another Jews who live in another island, like in Surabaya and Jakarta, and also tourists in Bali as well. But I'm glad that our synagogue now is recognized by the Indonesian government. And then we can start with the I just opened a Holocaust Museum as well to educate the Indonesian about the Holocaust and the Jewish history.
Wow, that's amazing. So the Indonesian government, which is a Muslim country, are recognizing your shul, your community, as a Jewish community in Indonesia.
Yes, exactly. Because they came to inaugurate our shul. And then they also opened our Holocaust Museum as well.
Oh, wow. Amazing. Okay, so just introducing as well, just in case, but I'm sure you all know, Rabbi Schnurb. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for being with us on our show today.
Good afternoon, Amitri. Thank you so much for having me on the show. It's such a pleasure to be here. I haven't been here in a while, but it's great to be back.
It's fascinating. I feel like I'm talking to a rabbi who in every class has more people probably than the rabbi in Singapore has for the community. And it must be so interesting, the difference in the work and how you do it and how you manage it. I'll start with you, Rabbi Baruch, because I'm guessing that it's a very individual journey that every person needs to take when you don't have that powerful of thousands and millions of Jews around you in the community. What is the role that you take as an educator, a parent, in teaching Jewish identity, in teaching who we are, in teaching the concept that we are slaves of Hashem since we left Mitzrayim, that we are in the place of we're liberated. Liberated, that means what? What does it mean to be liberated today in what we want to teach?
Yeah. So for many years, since we used to have a strong Jewish community during the Dutch colonial time, but after that, for more than 70 years, we don't have an active Jewish community. And then for many years, we only teach our children at home. But I'm glad now we just try to open a new header for the young generation, for the kids especially. But the important thing is, it's difficult for us to get like a Sephorim, you know, to teach all the kids. And for the material things, we still use it from internet, from online. But I'm glad that all the kids that active in our shul, they're happy to wearing the yarmulke and the tzitzit as well, you know. So they're walking around proud. And I also teach them about the interfaith activity, so they get in touch with the other children, like from the Muslim community, especially during this month, Ramadan, we can visit each other, you know, and also visit the Christian community. Because in Indonesia, you know, it's the largest Muslim population country in the world. We have like about almost 280 million people, and most of them are Muslims. And it's very difficult before to talk to them about Judaism, about Jewish faith. And then after we show to them that we can practice, to practice Judaism is not difficult if you have a will. And Baruch Hashem, if you have a will, you can do anything. We don't have a shochet, but I can help to do this only for the chicken, you know. And then we live in a very nice island, so we have plenty of fish.
So Rabbi, I want to get back to you on that, on the will, because the idea, and we do need to take a short break. When we come back, I do want to understand. You say you have a will, you can teach. How do you teach a community of 20 families between a population of 80 million Muslims the freedom, the ben chayrin, the connection with Hashem, that we are the important nation that we are, when the numbers are, I wouldn't even say minority, we're almost nothing there, and being able to feel that strength? Let's just go for a break, and when we come back, we'll discuss that to understand that feeling of Pesach. Short, important notice, and then we'll continue.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 FM, Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and we just started a fascinating discussion. I'm here with two Jewish leaders, rabbis, one in our community, Rabbi Schnerb, who we all know from the education, from Chinuch, from Halacha as a rabbi, and Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who is the rabbi of Shaar HaShamayim Synagogue in Indonesia. And right before the break, we spoke about, I asked about how do we teach a community that holds about 20 families that are in an ocean of 80 million people that are not Jewish, and to feel that Jewish identity and strength. But Rabbi Baruch, before you answer that, in the break, I was talking to Rabbi Schnerb here in the studio with me, and he actually said that before we continue the interview, he thinks it's very important for us to hear, if you can share, just on a practical level, how do you manage when it comes to kashrut, when it comes to, like you started before the break to speak a bit about it, but, you know, it fascinates me because living in our community, many times people will tell me, I want to keep kashrut, but it's so expensive, it's so hard, it's so difficult. You know, sometimes walking and keeping our Jewish identity strong is a challenge. All the ocean of opportunities around us and staying with our beliefs and as who we are is challenging. And then I hear you leading a community in a way bigger ocean of people around you. How do you do it? How does it work practically on every level?
Yeah. Well, like I said before, we don't have a kosher meat in whole country. The easy way to get only from Singapore and Australia, but we have a regulation from government is not allowed to import non-halal meat, so only halal. So the way how we survive, we only can eat fish here that we cook at home, and also for the chicken that I only allowed to do it because you know the knife that I have is only for the chicken, and I to do it the shek for the beef or for the lamb is more than that, you know, so I need to study more, especially from the Shulchan Aruch for that. But for now we only have a chicken that we use it in the shul, and also that I distribute to our congregation. Then I teach them, since we have a plenty of fish, we live in a nice island with a nice beach, we have so many scuba diving tourists from over the world. And usually we have Israeli and the Jews as well. So our shul almost every week have visitors from overseas that I prepare for them. If they come for weekdays, I give them whatever we can give it to them. But I also put filling to them, whatever I can help to them. But for some food, we still rely on the halal stam, of course, for the milk, you know. But there is an idea from my friends, rabbi friends, that I can do it for the halal of Israel. But you know, it takes time to do it more. I just try the best what I can do. But I'm glad that we have a kosher stuff import, and we have a lot of plenty tuna factory here. That's why we have many mashgiach from Jerusalem, from OU, from everything. I also know one from South Africa, Dofi Jubilar is a friend of mine, but I never met him. But he came to as well. Yeah, but I met another from the mashkia from OU, from everywhere. They came for tuna cane, so it's easy for us to get the tuna, you know. And we have but the funny things, the Jews in Indonesia, they like to more eat the spices, the local food, like grilled fish, you know. And it's difficult for us to get a chickpea, so it's quite difficult to make hummus, you know. So the way we survive, that we eat the local food with under my supervision. And I'm thinking in the future, now we just do a construction to make a more bigger our kitchen, that I will talk with the local airlines if we can prepare, you know, the vegetarian kosher food, because we don't have a kosher food for the local flight, only for international flight. At least if we have something vegetarian, it can help, you know. And also for the every from tourists or visitors who came to the country. You know, Besrat Hashem, we can prepare for that. And I think it's still easy, you know.
So Rabbi Schnur, but you know what, Rabbi Schnur, why don't you jump into the discussion? What were you going to ask?
What about matzah? Where do you get matzah from?
Oh, yeah.
So with matzah, how do you manage? You just make it on your own?
No, for matzah, Baruch Hashem, I have a few friends from Australia, from Hong Kong, who like to send it to me. I just received a smura matzah from Hong Kong. My friend took to Jakarta, and from Jakarta, they sent it to me with the kedem, the juice. But during the COVID, because we don't have access to get receive anything, so we do it by ourselves. But for the matzah and for the kosher wine and for the arba minim, we still hope that we receive from friends from overseas. Because one of the biggest problem, honestly, is issue about the Jews in Indonesia is not came from the wealthy family. They come from the family who just tried to survive. And then we got the donation, like from the books, you know, for the Sidurim, Maksurim, but we're still waiting like another Sefurim, like Mishnayot, Talmud for adults study. But we still have, I'm glad we still have received Arba Mini, Matzah, and Kosher grape from France, like in Australia or in Singapore. So how we live, it still depends the other Jewish community around us. So it's very important to contact, as we know that Kol Israel is Arbe Sa'aveh, right? So we need to take care of each other.
We are Ravim Zelazah, and that's amazing. And really my question would be, you know, we're hearing it in fascination about the struggle and about the work and about the things. And I want to ask you, Rabbi Schnur, what do we teach our children when it comes to the Jewish identity? And, you know, we talk about Bnei Chayrin and how we need to feel free and redeemed to make choices. After this discussion with Rabbi Baruch, I almost feel like, how do we even need to teach that our children? Can't we see how easy it is for us, how free we are, how connected we are? Or not, we have our challenges. What do we look at the next generation and tell them?
So perhaps the question is in itself the challenge, maybe because it is so free and we have, you know, we are, as you said, we are in an ocean of people, and there's so much opportunity and there's so much around us that our challenge often is to teach our children that the Yiddishkeit and the traditions that we have dating back to the time of Exodus from Egypt, some 3,300 years ago, are still the valid traditions, are still the things that are timeless. And in spite of the way the world has changed and the way the politics has changed and the way our whole lives have changed, the timelessness and the relevance of Torah and the concepts and the values that Torah and mitzvahs, and particularly these portentous times, our chagim, teach us, are still as valid and as important today as they were back then. That's really the bottom line of what we have to use, particularly Pesach, as an opportunity to get across and to transmit to our next generation.
We generally compare in our minds freedom with being in our strength, being popular, being in a good position. And we're going into Pesach this year with Jews around the world and in Eretz Yisrael, all over, actually struggling with the war, struggling with the way we're seen in the Muslims, struggling with, are we still able to feel that strong freedom?
So we have to understand really what freedom is. Freedom, as defined by our sages, as defined is the ability to understand that, yes, we have the right to make choices, and of course we have the ability to choose what we want. But the real freedom is for a person to understand that following the particular directives of our Torah, following the ways that we've been taught, that we've been instructed in, are the ways that give us the wherewithal, that give us the power, that give us the path that allows us to kind of manipulate and to wangle our way through all the difficulties, through all the challenges, through all the terrible, terrible heartbreak and sorrow and suffering that we're going through, because our Holy Torah addresses all the situations, all the different possibilities that human beings can encounter, and it gives us the strength, and it gives us the power, and it gives us the incredible fortitude to be able to formulate our positions and find a way of comfort, of confidence, and of even exhilaration in being able to go forward and do what we have to do within the greater gamut of what's going on us, and still sort of carry on and address what we have to address and get to where we have to get to.
Wow. So definitely the Torah has the answers in that place that we can always connect and always find the way that we need to do. And going with that, going back to the day-to-day struggles within the concept of Pesach. So I want to ask you, Rabbi Baruch, you know, here in South Africa, our government has taken a very clear side within the conflict in the Middle East. And speaking to you as a rabbi in a country with 80 million population with majority of Muslims, I'm wondering how your community is handling the relationship with the government, is handling the stand of, you know, where we are as Jews with our neighbors in regard to the conflict, where we are in our ability to celebrate our Judaism and celebrate our freedom and celebrate our connection to Hashem, and understanding that this is a time of growth and a very special spiritual time of geula, of redemption, and hope for our own redemption, that when Moshiach comes, please God, how do we balance all of that?
First, I want to say that the Indonesian is 280 million, not 80
million. Oh, not
million.
280 so, million. Okay.
280 million. So
I lose count at a certain point, but yeah.
And then in the middle of 280 million, and then about 260 Muslim people, you have only like 20, 25 Jews in my shul. Is the way how we survive, the way how we show to them, active in the interfaith. In the interfaith, I can talk to the many leaders. I can talk with them. They already forget the 50% of suspicious to the Jews, you know, because in Indonesia, you know, Indonesia and Malaysia is the only two country in the Asia that reject diplomatic relation with Israel. We don't have any war history with Israel, so it's. But Indonesia is still exists that very pro-Palestine. Myself, as an Indonesian Jew, I'm thinking a lot about my brother and sister in South Africa, because what happened, I saw it in the ICG, you know, everywhere. I also have a thinking, but the way I can talk to you, we just need to talk to them, you know, it's by the dialogue, you know. After the 7 October, I invite all the people from Christian, Muslims, from the Buddhists, everyone come to talk and to pray. I show the pictures of the hostages. I talk to them. We need to pray for them, you know, everything. And I explain what really happened in Gaza, the situation. So just by the dialogue, I'm glad that we can do it on that. But Baruch Hashem, that because of I'm active in the interfaith, I also have a chance to talk with the Indonesian government, and I can invite them for Hanukkah. They come to light the candle, you know, we together all of us in the Purim. I can invite them as well. So it depends how you represent Judaism to people, you know, and the way how we represent, we need to show it to them that we are, you know, as a Jew, as a Yirat Shamayim, we need to. The Chachamim Torah, you know, we should do show it to them the real Judaism is, you know, because how they think about us is very terrible, unbelievable. It's terrible, and we need to stand for ourselves.
And how is that affecting the young generation in your community?
This is the unique thing. I mean, for the children, for the Jewish children in Brooklyn, like in everywhere, place in America, in Europe, in England, they saw every day the Jews in the street, you know, with tzitzit, with everything. But as an Indonesian Jewish children, you're the only one who wearing tzitzit in the school, in the public school. You're the only one wearing yarmulke in the public school. It makes people came to us and ask you about anything. And that's what my children always told me. So how my children explain about the Bible to his Christian friends in the school, how he explained about the war between Israel and Hamas to the, his Muslim friends in the school, is fascinating. But this is the way we need to, this is the mitzvahs in the Torah, to teach our children and to make them to teach, you know, like when we teach our children, like we're teaching our children, right? So this is the way, it's very important once we teach to them, they can stand up for themselves and they share this knowledge to all their fellow non-Jewish friends in everywhere. And they start can respect our people, you know, the way we stand. And the interesting things that even we only very small, very, very, very micro minority in Indonesia, we need to show to them that we are strange. Nobody will stand for us except ourselves. So if they saw our strength, then they will respect us, you know. This is the important things.
And to be able to feel that freedom. That's the freedom that the rabbi is talking about, to be stand exactly. Strong. So,
isn't that the fascinating point? That it's by teaching them knowledge and teaching them what it means to be a Jew, that gives them the strength. Even though surrounded in this great sea of other religions and other cultures, to understand who we are and what we stand for.
It's exactly what we were taught of Yochid V'Rabim, Halachic Rabim, only B'mokim Sofek.
Right.
So when you don't have clarity, then Yochid, you go by the majority. But when we have clarity, we don't get confused. And exactly what the rabbi is saying is that when you get that clarity and that strength, then we get there. So, you know, we spoke quite a bit about the differences maybe in South Africa and Indonesia. We do need to take another break, but when we come back, let's talk about what we are the same in. Let's talk about, I'd love to hear from both rabbis, what is the role of parents, Leila Seda? Let's talk about the real stuff we need to do. You know, we have a generation to teach. We have a tradition to pass on further. We have students. We have families. What is it that we need to do to teach our children? What is the message of Pesach? Where do we want to go with that? And then, yeah, let's say just take a short break, and when we come back, we will dive in there.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and I'm in the middle of a fascinating discussion with Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who is a rabbi at the Shaar Shamayim Synagogue in Indonesia, and Rabbi Schnurb, who is a rabbi at Keter Torah here in Johannesburg, as well as an educator, a host of Hilchos Shabbos here on the show. And right before the break, we spoke about all the differences between the communities and the challenges, and, you know, actually made me feel quite blessed and how, you know, easy it is almost for us to do what we need to do and keep Torah and mitzvahs properly. But now let's talk about the role of parents, and this is maybe would be very similar between both rabbis, even though you're leaders in very different communities. What is, and I'll start with you, Rabbi Schnurb, what is the parent's role when comes the Seder? You could talk about parents, you could talk about the dad or the mom, whatever the rabbi chooses. And then I'll go to Rabbi Yaakov Baruch.
So the reality is that Leila Seder is a unique opportunity in the cycle, in the year, in our opportunity to engage and educate our children. It is the time we have a really, really receptive and captive audience. Everyone's around the table. Everyone's sort of in it for the short or long haul. You have a very, very captive and receptive audience. And this is such an important forum to spend the time giving over the most important principles and values of what Judaism is about. We need to teach our children about the fact that there is a God and that God is relevant and completely part of our lives and controls every single detail of what goes on in our lives, around us, and all the decisions that we make are part of that formula. We have to understand, and that's how the entire Seder process And the Haggadah that we read on Leil HaSeder is all about teaching us the basic tenets of emunah, of faith, of realization, of the presence of Hashem, the cognizance of His reality in our lives, and the fact that nothing happens in this world that is not orchestrated, directed, and planned by Him. We're talking about the milieu we find ourselves in, the difficulties, the war, all the challenges we have. This is not random. You think in Egypt it was easy? We were slaves. We had nothing. We were in the most abject situation of being downtrodden, of being persecuted, of being killed. Our children were being killed. And do you think we understood what was going on then? Of course not. But it was God's method, God's planning to bring us to the time of redemption, to the time of the time where we'd be unified as a nation. And we have to understand that what we're going through now is part of a process that is leading to a very definite ending point, which is the coming of Mashiach, the reunification of the entire Jewish nation. But a very, very important note to parents. This is such a unique opportunity that we cannot let it go by. And therefore, as parents, as mom and dad, whoever's going to be involved in the Seder, we need to prepare ourselves for this. You can't come to the Seder and say, well, I'm just going to sort of wing it and somehow we'll make something out of it. One has to prepare, one has to think about the relevant kind of stories you want to relate, be they personal, be they things you might read up on. I mean, there's so much going on in current events, miraculous, amazing stories. I mean, you hear about the war, yes, and there are terrible tragedies that are going on, but there are a huge amount of open miracles, and we can relate that to our children, and we can show them the presence of godliness, the presence of Kedusha that's going on in the world amongst all of the terrible things that are happening. How the hand of God, the fingerprint of God, the impact of spirituality is in every aspect of our lives. And if we make it fun, if we make it vibrant, if we make it exciting, we play games, we tell stories, we engage the children, it becomes something that is so vibrant and so exciting and so much fun. And we can sort of fit it all together. And if we think about how we're going to do it and how we're going to make it in a way that our children are riveted by the story, riveted by the events. Yes, and we'll give them a chance to participate also and read from their little books that they've all prepared. And that's wonderful because that makes them feel so proud, makes them feel so connected to the process. But the main responsibility is on us as the parents to really, really look at our children and look at their personalities and look at what they're struggling with and kind of relate to them in a personal kind of way of how they in their lives can incorporate some of the lessons of Leil HaSeder, some of the stories that we read about, and make it something that's really, really important for them and something that's life-changing for them.
Amazing. It's very powerful. You know, when the rabbi was speaking, one point about the preparation and coming prepared to Leil HaSeder and being there for your children, knowing what you're going to say, how you're going to manage, how you're going to be prepared. When I used to have the merit, when I came to South Africa, I used to walk home from shul Friday night with Reb Sender Grossness, whose son now is the Rav of the Koilo, and he used to tell me consistently that he believes that if a father doesn't prepare for Friday night and for Shabbos meals, at least to the same amount that his wife prepared for the meal in Divrei Torah, he needs to do the Divrei Torah, whatever she's preparing. But if we look at equality, there needs to be the same equal, then he's unfair. So whatever your wife put into Shabbos for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you need to put in also on your side and your part. And definitely Pesach, that's weeks of work, but just the concept of what we need to invest and see.
And the more you put in, the more you'll enjoy the Knei Lechosa.
For sure, definitely. Yagato Matzata Lefum Tzaragra, I guess. Okay, so we do need to take another short break. When we come back, Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, I'd love to hear from you, your message, your parent. What would you tell parents their role is when it comes to the Seder night and what they need to do in order to be prepared for the mitzvah v'igadat alimincha of what they need to do for the next generation.
The Chai Chinuch Show is brought to you by King David Schools, the cornerstone of our community for 75 years.
101.9 Chai FM Chai Chinuch, Rabbi G. We are back, and towards the end of a fascinating discussion here with Rabbi Yaakov Baruch, who's the rabbi of Shar HaShamayim Synagogue in Indonesia, and Rabbi Schnurb from here in Johannesburg. And Rabbi Baruch, what is your message to parents, the responsibility? What do they do, Seder nights, you know, the mitzvah of Igadet HaLebincha? What do you focus on through this whole journey of Pesach, the message that we need to teach on for the next generation?
Yes, like when we just passed during the time of COVID, we can see how this, about the plaques, you know, that's very, very live on the time, and we will say that this is shelter we pass all to. And then this is, we come to the time that when our children have easy access to see what happened to become a Jew, how after 7 October, with the rise of anti-Semitism, our kids can see what happens to the Jews in outside. I believe sometimes make me their fear inside of them, but they don't dare to talk to us. That's why the message thing is important to say to them, this is the time that we talk to them that the Hashem will never leave us, you know, with his mighty right hand, very strong. He will help us, and he will never put us in those slavery anymore, that we are free people, and we need to make them to be confident to become a Jews, especially they who live in the middle of nowhere, like in Indonesia, you know. The place is very difficult to keep the Yiddishkeit here, but this is the challenge, you know. When you try to survive in the jungle, this is how you survive. It's same like the story of the Moshe Rabbeinu in the Mizraim, you know, how he became a very only alone as a Hebrew, and then he became a prince, you know, in the kingdom of Egypt. So this is how you develop the Judaism inside you. And I believe these matches can make them very strong, because outside of our home, they will face it like 280 non-Jews that will see what they will gonna do in the future. So Bezrat Hashem, if we put this message very well to them, they will grow up in the Torah, you know, in the Yirat Shamayim, Yirat Hashem, with the very good things, and they will feel proud as a Jew. I always see that there is a neshama, you know, like too important to put a neshama on them. It's like there is an air tummy that we need to keep lighting this flame every time in Indonesia. Once this flame is off, then the Yiddishkeit will be finished. So this is the way we try to protect ourselves. We keep this air tummy to be always active. So this is, I think, my short
That's amazing and power. And I think that we forget that it's a good time to remind ourselves that Hashem gave us a promise that we will be free people from the day we left Mitzrayim until end of times. We will be Bnei Chayrin, and we will have the ability to serve Hashem with freedom. And you know, the Gemara says that we lo nitavu achachamim limot haMashiach, only to serve Hashem, right? And I think we're in a world, in a place that we can. It almost feels like that has fulfilled it, that we can keep Torah and mitzvahs almost in any country in the world. Yeah. I don't know, never tried in North Korea. But other than that,
The idea to bring the Eretz HaKodesh, the Eretz Israel to us.
Amen. 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 And to see the, you know, Rabbi Schnurb, I'm speaking to Rabbi Baruch, and seeing the responsibility of 20 people holding Yiddishkeit in a country of 280 million. And as Rabbi Baruch said, that if each one of them doesn't do it, then the light is out, the Torah is out, and it's out completely.
We bless our children every Friday night. Yisimcha lekim ke Ephraim v'chimenashe. Why Ephraim and Menashe? They grew up in such a hostile atmosphere, and look what they developed. Chazak u Baruch, Rabbi Baruch.
Yeah, Chazak u Baruch. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much to Rabbi Yaakov Baruch for being with us today. A great show. I wish we had more time has come to an end. Thank you, Rabbi Schnurb, for the chizuk. And yes, exactly that, that they grow up in such a place and manage to be a light to the world, and unbelievable to that. And that is a message we should pass on. And thank you for the listeners. Thank you for being with us. Thank you, Sana, for putting this show together. Thank you, Craig, for managing it perfectly. And thank you for everyone on this journey of Chinuch every week. And we will be back next week, Be'ezer Hashem, as we do every week, Monday, 2 to 3, and discuss new topics. Stay safe, stay well, invest in our freedom, and we will get there.
The Chai Chinuch Show was brought to you by King David Schools, instilling Jewish values, delivering exceptional education, and inspiring a life of purpose.